my youngest brother is a dick.
Hello, my name is Philip Lee Curtis, and this is Fanatic.
He's my uncircumcised penis.
Welcome to Fanatic, the podcast where we dig a little deeper. Each episode, a different guest will talk about life, career, and inspirations, as well as touching on some more personal stories related to mental health. The show is made up of four sections, which should give you a nice, well-rounded look into their lives. The guests are all interesting, funny, charming creatives, many of whom are known around Australia and beyond. And the goal of the podcast is to create something entertaining, not just for you and I, but for the guests as well. And to be a reminder that really, deep down, we're all the same. Today's guest is an actor and singer-songwriter who has appeared in hit shows Please Like Me and Rake. He also released his debut album Snow on Higher Ground in 2016. We talk about Please Like Me, performative neutrality, Rake, producing an album, Virginia Gay, the milk carton kids, anger, losing our virginity, and whether he has a helmet or a hoodie. Before we get into this episode, I should say a couple of things. Firstly, I loved this guest. He was so lovely and accommodating. He got us afternoon tea, and honestly, we could have chatted all day. We gave it a red hot go too. And yeah, so I really enjoyed recording this one, and I think he enjoyed himself as well. I'm not saying that we're best friends for life, but pretty sure we are. The second thing is, when I got home, I was so excited to edit this episode and get it out to you guys, and I realized that we had a few audio issues. Everything was fine when I tested, but as I listened back, I noticed the audio sort of fades in and out, and it's a bit all over the place. I kept thinking, no, it was fine, you know, how could this happen? And I realized that either we just got unlucky and there was some kind of interference, or the more likely scenario is that I made a mistake and accidentally recorded the whole thing through my laptop mic instead of my podcast mic, because I'm a moron. Look, I've done the best to make it as listenable as possible. I apologize if there's some annoying spots here and there. No one is as upset as I am, but it's a great episode. Hopefully you'll enjoy it as much as I did, and who knows, maybe we'll get him back on at some stage for a part two. This is Keegan Joyce.
I am sitting here in Port Melbourne with Keegan Joyce, and we're in a fancy schmancy interior designed multi-level thing.
We're eating a donut.
He's eating a donut. It looks amazing.
Section one, getting to know you.
So what is something you're really good at?
I have great memory. Yeah, I'm the guy at trivia nights that's like, oh, holy crap, I remember this. Like, I know all the capitals and all the states in America. But I'm learning the capitals of the world. I'm not there yet.
What about something you're really bad at?
I love, like, art, but I feel like I'm a terrible artist. Like, I love painting.
Okay.
I do watercolour, but it's not, like, I'm not good at it.
Oh, you did thank you notes for your album.
Yeah.
Which were amazing and adorable. I was like, yes.
I did, like, a bunch of, like, thank you notes. And they like, and just... like scribbling, really, but I am a terrible artist, I think.
What is something that you've learned to love about yourself?
Hearing my voice back.
Yes. Yeah. Hard.
It's practice, yeah. And I actually genuinely think it is practice.
Okay.
Like the first time you hear your voice, like, what do I fucking say? Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, I've got to.
Oh, God, I swear so much.
I think the third word in Urzula's was cunt.
Yeah, good. I'm now thinking about how terrible I am at swearing. I used to hate my voice, but I think I just being overexposed, it's exposure.
Sure.
So after so much exposure, and I've been like recording and performing in scenes since I was a boy, and so it's been around my whole life.
Yeah.
And eventually, there are still moments where I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? But I feel like now more than ever, I actually hear my voice the way it's recorded.
Sure.
Which is really interesting. I think a lot of people hear it. That's not how I sound.
Yeah. Well, in the sound world, we're all Mariah Carey.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
Like, I'm amazing.
What a whistle tone I've got.
Yeah. How did you go during puberty with your voice?
My voice didn't break until I was 17.
And was
or
that
a bit older?
Yeah, I'm not sure mine has. Was that frustrating? Because I remember I probably couldn't sing for like 2-3 years, probably.
I was still singing throughout my whole thing, and that's why my voice didn't break for so long. I had, like, my range just increased, which was awesome for a while, but I sing less than I now than I probably ever did before. When I was at uni, I did 3 years on scholarship in a church choir.
Yeah.
So that was Wednesdays, Sundays.
Was it like sister act?
No, like, not my gospel. The outfits, yes.
Yeah, okay, great. What is the last gift you gave someone?
I mean, I think the last gift I gave would probably be to my best friend's son. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know what the last gift I gave is. So my girlfriend's brother and sister-in-law are pregnant with twins.
Oh.
And so we gave them two little baby grows. So baby grows are like, I don't know what they are. Sure. I can't explain them. They're like onesies. Onesies is the network for baby grow, I think.
Oh.
They're like, yeah.
It's like a little baby onesie.
Yeah.
Like yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
It's just like what a baby wears.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know what that is. I don't know
why they're called baby grows. I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was a little plant.
Yeah.
Who would you be excited to get a tweet from?
Oh. I mean, I've had some pretty exciting tweets over the years, but...
You had Titus, didn't you?
Yeah, Titus Burgess. Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was incredible.
Right, yeah.
And I had seen him play at Joe's Pub, like, in Broadway when I was, like, 18. And he sang some, like, Patrick and Paul. That was pretty cool. If I was most excited, I'll probably, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson, the scientist, tweeted me, or I'd be like, holy crap, or like maybe like my favorite chefs or something. Like
really?
That. Yeah,
that's fine. I like
yeah.
It. Have you ever made a massive fool of yourself?
Oh, almost every day of my life. Yeah, definitely. It probably, I'll make it for myself today.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
do you have a man crush?
For some reason, Ryan Reynolds came straight to my
okay.
mind. I think I just find him very funny.
Yeah.
And genuinely sincere in his comedy.
Sure. Inanimate object crush.
I love my guitar.
Yeah. Is that the one?
That's my guitar, yeah. That's my... this is the special guitar.
So we're actually trying out a few new ones because I'm really curious about asking people these questions. So, do you think you're good looking?
Yeah.
Yeah, honest answer. I like
I think I'm right. I mean, I didn't for a long time, so like a genuine belief. And I probably wasn't for a long time. I realized the more like, I'm not into myself in a weird way, but I'm okay with myself and I love myself. So I think the more you are that, the more other people see you as that as well.
Yeah. That can come from inside.
Thanks, Jamie Schumer, for teaching me that
lesson. I feel pretty good. What do you think is the most attractive thing about you?
I think sincerity. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sincere.
You do folk music. You have to be sincere. That's kind of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's, although like I put a lot out there, like I do keep a lot in. There is this impression that I give away like all of myself to the world. But I don't know. I hope I'm sincere and kind.
Now, this question I haven't asked for a while because the climate has changed a little bit, but I'm rewording it, which is, who would you consensually hate fuck?
That's such a good question. I mean, I hate a lot of people.
Great, listen. My mother.
Well, she's not on the phone.
Oh god,
she can't be on that list. I guess it would be someone that like I admire, like that I think is like an actress or someone or an actor that is like it's like very attractive but it's just kind of a dick.
Yeah, so like Johnny Depp.
Maybe I'd hate fuck Clint Eastwood because also that's a power thing for me. Like,
sure.
I love old Western films and I think he's awesome. But now he's old and he's like a little bit racist. I mean, he's not a little bit, he's racist and he gets all weird and he just like he's fence sitting and he's like, well, the other side's bad as well. He's a both sides guy.
Okay.
And put Clint Eastwood down.
Sure.
Section 2, the good stuff.
You had one of your brothers do your bio. on, I think, your website and a few other places, which was super fun. And you seem to not really like to talk too much about yourself. And, you know, it's quite self-deprecating and all of that. Is that naturally who you are?
I've got two younger brothers. We're not competitive in, like, a hate each other way. We're competitive in, like, a fun way. Joking and, you know, ribbing each other. And I found that very helpful.
Sorry, you said ribbing.
Ribbing, not cool. Ribbing each other.
Yeah, right.
This is a weird thing.
That was a lazy
thing. I fuck my mom. And
yeah. Everything goes to incest. What? Yeah. That was a lazy lyric.
Yeah, none of us take ourselves or especially each other too seriously.
Sure.
And that's been really healthy for us.
Through that similar vein, you on Twitter, you're very down to earth and sort of engaged with people. And one of the things I came across was, this isn't so much a question, it's just, I just found it really interesting. There was a girl kind of trying to argue with you about gun control. And I read the entire thread enjoyed the whole thing. Because you were just so, like, collected. You just knew what you wanted to say. It was matter of fact.
I've got to say, there were probably a couple of moments where I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh,
like,
and
outside. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you used the phrase performative neutrality. I don't know what that means, but I know that it's sexy.
I'm so glad. I use it too often because I'm a wanker. But basically, journalists and CNN, everyone is guilty of it, but especially like the big ones, the big main ones. Sometimes a fact is just a fact, and you don't have to show the other side. It's the climate change debate. If you 99% or 97% of scientists agree that climate change is caused by man-made actions, so we don't need a one-on-one fucking debate from fucking some scientist that got his degree. They got his degree at fucking Arizona Online State University. And Bill Nighy, like, just heard Bill Nighy. And so that's what, performative neutrality for me is like a lot of journalists are stuck in this world where they're being called out every day. You're biased, you're biased, you're biased. So then they perform this neutrality of like, look at me, I'm not biased. I've got dickhead on to talk about climate change or gun control. And I
like Pauline Hanson is anywhere.
Yeah, this is exactly right. And they enable these situations and it's very infuriating. And so that's, I had this argument with this girl. It did not change her mind. It was pretty heartbreaking.
So, having played gay characters, you've said that you quite often get guys come up and hit on you, flirt with you. But you actually have a gay brother. So
yeah, my youngest brother.
Does that shit him?
Yeah, I can't remember. Like, I've got to be honest in that he, in the last couple of years, has become less gay or he's become bisexual. I mean, he's not labeled it. He had a girlfriend for a while and then they broke up. And actually, this is a great point to tell you that. My youngest brother is a dick.
That's his bias.
Yeah, and I'm glad that he got broken up with because I'm not. So he had a
kid. I also hate him.
Yeah, so he's kind of like dating around now. Everyone, anyone, get on to Riley.
Yeah, where's
anyone? Yeah, whoever you want. He'll do anyone. So that was quite funny at the start. Like, especially when he was like Tindering or whatever. In the early days, like, I think the picture of like, on his Facebook was, like, our family. Like, then he was like, oh, I have to take this photo down off my Facebook. Like, I keep getting, like, people being like, hey, is that your brother?
Sure.
Now to explain why I just had to rant on my brother. When I was, 20 and my youngest brother, Roland, used to work at McDonald's. And he worked there for almost 10 years. But he fucking loved it. Like, he loved it. He was loving working there. And they were fantastic to him. They gave him, like, he got a scholarship for university through them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they.
Did he have to, like, wear back in his clothes?
No, that would be so great.
I'd love it. Can we make it?
Yeah, that's great. But when he got it in the local paper, like, and I've done heaps of interviews, like, enough, but he decided they kind of were, like, talking about it. Talked about how at one stage he wanted to be a performer, and it was in the interview they were like, so what made you decide to, like, go into, like, a corporate or, like, work at McDonald's and, like, make that your career or whatever? And he said, well, I saw how my brother has struggled financially throughout the thing. So now I have every interview chance I get to fucking drag him. I'm going to do it.
So with your singing and your writing and your acting, did those three different things give you different things? Like, do you get different things out of them, or is it kind of the same?
No, very different. I feel like I get a lot of like creative fulfillment out of music, writing music. And
more than performing it, or?
Slightly more than performing it. Acting has like a whole different kind of like more collaborative process that I really enjoy.
You were in Paper Cut, which was a short written and directed by Virginia Gay.
Yeah, she's fantastic. We were doing a show down at MTC, and Jean just had this idea for a film. And during rehearsal, she was like, hey, we're thinking of doing this shoot. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, sure. But I wasn't, this was like week one shot of rehearsals, and no one really had any idea of A, what the show was going to be, and B, how exhausted we were going to be. And then when we got to it, she was like, fuck, we're going to do this. Are you still okay? It was great. We had a great time.
I liked it. It was
cute. Yeah, it's a fun little film. Yeah. I mean, we did it 2 half days.
I hope that you have as your message tone the screen you give to the printer.
I don't. Ah, I wish. I
please
wish.
Do it.
I'll have to go back.
Yeah. I'll see if I can include it in here. I have not met Virginia, but in my first show, I got a few people to do an intro video, which was just bullshit.
Yeah.
And I went to her with this idea that I was getting ready for the Logies, and I had some like amazing designer outfit ready to go, but she was also there, and I just looked across the room, spotted her, and was like, no, that's what I'm wearing. And everyone was like, oh, like her dress. No, her. It's followed by this horrifically photoshopped, like when I do jokes, I don't do it well. I just poorly photoshopped. Yeah. Me on the red carpet with Virginia wrapped around me in a dress. And she agreed to it, and she nailed it.
Oh, God, we met at a dress fitting for the Logies. He was going to wear this amazing off-the-shoulder Dior gown, beautiful piece, vintage. And then he saw me, and he said, no, that's the one. And then he wore me to the Logies.
So, okay, one thing I didn't know anything about, but I feel like I should, is rake.
Yeah.
Because I feel like maybe it's a straight people show, so maybe that's why I don't know about it.
It's a lawyer show. It's like,
yeah.
It's
like, and it's not Ellen McBeal.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
It's or like SVU.
Straight people lawyer show, or like maybe, I guess, it is the end.
See, I guess I'm an iView watcher later. So I'll hear about something. That's actually how I found Please Like
Me.
Yeah. Someone said, oh, and I.
That's how most of Please Like Me was consumed. Like, when the show came on, you would see, like, 50-year-olds and above just, like, off.
Yeah. See, like, it's one of those things where I watch it and I think, and I feel like my mum would enjoy it, but then there's other things that, not that my mum is not progressive, but would be, I'd have to explain to her, and that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What's topping?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know? Yeah. And that's exactly right. And also stuff that, it's quite revealing. Like, if you're in that world and your mom asks you what's topping, then the follow-up question is, what do you like? That is, like, the follow-up.
And or even if it's not the follow-up question, it's the thought.
The thought.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And so you gotta, you don't want it. Like, you know, some people maybe, but I would not talk to my mom about any of that.
I think that was pretty hard for my brother, because my parents watched the show. Sure. My dad watched the show, and then found out. Like, it kind of, like, occurred to him, like,
Well, you don't want to think about any of your kids having sex.
Any of your kids or your parents doing it. Yeah. So, like, I get that.
A lot of things. That's what was really interesting, I think, about the whole show, is you didn't always like characters every episode.
Yeah.
Like, there were, you'd love a character, but then go, oh, they're being a dick in this episode.
Jeffrey, like, everyone loved Jeffrey, and they're like, wait, he's been super weird and intense.
Yeah.
And, I love working on that show. I miss the people. I would love for us to all get to hang out again and just film and muck around.
If you're asking me to host a podcast,
that
is fine.
Great.
I'll do that for you. So, the scene where Arnold and Josh broke up, the final one, where you were out in the rain
screaming every feeling at him. Was that the greatest thing? I was watching it just thinking, I wish I could do that. I wish when I got dumped, it was raining, yeah, I could scream.
I remember it was fucking freezing the whole time. Whenever it rains, it makes everything harder to film. Okay. So the breakup scene was just written and filmed a bunch of stuff already. I remember Josh saying, if it starts raining, I want us to film the breakup scene whenever it starts raining. So I had the lines down pretty quick, so we went, and then it just started bucketing, and we're like, we're doing it. So it was, like, now looking back, it was really fun, but at the time I was just thinking, like, fuck, I'm gonna have no voice,
yeah,
and fucking freezing, because it was like the middle of winter. I'm wearing like 7 layers that you just can't see, okay, yeah, and like wetsuit booties and stuff like that, so you can't tell that my feet are
magic.
But yeah, yeah.
And you know what? The cast was really good. Like, there was one thing I wanted to ask more about that, and literally it's just Gina Riley, discuss.
Oh yeah, she's fantastic. I mean, she's just lovely, and we had a great time. And I remember being like, oh my god, when they told me, they're like, hey, so we think we're getting Gina Riley to play her mom, and like, fuck. And I knew Jeff from previous gig, from Rake, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So I was so excited to see Jeff again, and I thought, oh my god, this is going to be such a good pair, and they are.
Yeah.
But the first thing we did, Gina, Jeff, Nick, Cody, and myself, we all went and did an actual family photo shoot for that photo. And it was so amazing because he was taking it really seriously, thinking, like, this is going to be, like, a great centerpiece to the show, and they're going to make it about, like, how good the photo is. And then I just wish I saw his face being, like, what, they're making fun of my work.
Yeah.
And it was so, so fun.
So your album, how did you make that?
I was doing Please Like Me. I'd been broken up with like 4 months earlier. There was like a gap up between filming. It was during season 4. And I basically decided I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And they had like a bit of money and I was great. I can pull this down the drain.
Yeah.
So I booked a studio and went in and did it in a week in the studio, which was very intense. And I would never recommend that to someone else because I'm like, yeah, that'd be fine. I can do that. And then get there and like literally up to the minute of like 6 hours overtime on like 10 p.m. at night on Friday when I'm dead and everyone's dead and we're exhausted from recording all week. Putting my bag on while I'm like,
I'm still just recording
just as I'm walking out the door changing things. But yeah.
Last question of the getting to know you is, how do you get your hair so floofy?
This is a question I get all the time. So I use Evo liquid balm.
Special edition. Edition. This special edition is dumb questions about Keegan's album, Snow on Higher Ground.
So the opening song, New Bridge on Dead Man's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the old bridge?
So this is an actual bridge. When I got broken up with, I had to go and stay with my girlfriend at the time. She and I had a place together. So I just had to, like, go somewhere else. And so I went, my dad was in Europe. So I went to his place, which is in the middle of fucking nowhere in Sydney. There was a bridge called Dead Man's Creek.
Yeah.
And the New South Wales State Government put up a sign saying, New bridge over Dead Man's Creek. $18 million project. You're solving this thing, like a big, like, sign. And I was like, New Bridge over Dead Man's Creek. That's funny. And then it just like turned into a song later on. Amazing. So the old bridge has since been demolished.
Okay. Now the song Snow on Higher Ground.
Mm.
I have never seen snow. Will you take me?
Yeah. Yeah. We should go. We should go. I've never been that often.
So that's great. We're going to the snow. another lyric is, I want to be with them wild goats. So has that been organized?
No, the wild goats. The wild part is the difficult part. I think you can find goats anywhere. You can find wild goats.
Literally.
Goats everywhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of that week I spent in Cooma, like, tightening up all the songs. I went to Cooma. My uncle has like a little puppy out there.
Now, would this be the uncle with the dirty hands?
No, different uncle. Yeah.
That's the next question.
So that's...
all the time. You just see these, like, random fucking goats appear on, like, the hill. Like, on a bluff. Like, goat on a bluff.
Are they taunting you? Like, here I am.
Yeah, I'm like, and I always, like, look, I was looking up at them the whole time. I was like, what are these fucking goats doing? Because, like, there's no one's property on that side of the hill. No one can get there.
It's just floating there.
Yeah, they're just kind of there on this, like, rocky escarpment. And I'm like, what is going on? And that's where the wild birds came from.
Now, the dirty hands.
Yeah.
The question was, Uncle Kevin,
yeah.
Is he single?
I don't know. I don't know if he's your type or if you're
not.
No,
I'm asking for me. I'm asking for Danny Minogue because in her song, Put the Needle on It, there's the lyric, Dirty Hands, I Demand. And I thought perhaps they could be like a fun power couple. This is what you're in.
I would love to see that. He is the most, like, country guy from the end of the year, like, up near Tanner.
So was the answer that he's single?
No, he's not.
Sorry, Danny. I don't know if you'll listen. But, you also named the album Snow on Higher Ground. Mm. Now, Higher Ground is also the name of a Barbara Streisand album, and she famously sang Don't Rain on My Parade.
Yes.
So snow, like rain. When did your rivalry with Barbara Streisand begin?
It's day one.
Fuck you, Streisand.
It's actually like a mutual admiration. I know she loves me.
So
I love her.
Okay, so that's a rivalry.
Yeah.
Like sisterhood.
Yeah, it's a sisterhood, but you know how those things can be.
Yeah. Her album, Higher Ground, sold 5 million copies worldwide.
Yeah.
How many did yours sell?
Yeah, worldwide? You can't even count.
Right, too many. Definitely more than her.
I can't count how many.
I ran out of
things. I don't know how to count them.
Okay, Kuma.
Yeah.
In Kuma, waiting for loneliness. Mm. Now, do you need some tips on that? Because I'm very lonely.
Yeah.
I can tell you how.
I don't need some tips. I can give you some tips.
Please.
Go to Kuma.
Well, with those things. My favourite thing is, a few songs later, you sing, there's something about the midnight trains causing you to be lonely. So...
I know.
So you were just down at Kuma Railway Station waiting for the train, and it finally arrived.
That actually is quite funny. I'll be covering that. But the loneliness, waiting for loneliness thing is actually about, like, already being lonely and just, like, waiting for, like, some profundity to kick in. Everyone's like, you just need time to yourself, you know? Like, you've just been broken up with. Be single. Be lonely.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, so now I'm going to figure out who I am.
I'm going to get a train.
Yeah, what the fuck is happening? I'm very lonely. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And sad. Is sad what I am?
Yeah. That is good. Now, in the same song, you sing, was it just the April rain that caused me to be worried?
Was it?
Yes. That was all. I just sit at home coming up with stupid shit.
No, this is great. No one's ever asked me questions this specific.
Good. St. Kuma again. Fishing for brown trout. Never caught one, but I'm told they're here, no doubt. So when did you realise you were crap at fishing?
Pretty early on.
Yeah,
I've seen being back, I've caught rainbow trout.
Oh, the fanciest of trout.
Yeah. Still no brown trout, so the song's still
a mix. Who wants brown trout when you have rainbow trout?
Yeah. I'm going next week to Kuma.
And then we're going to the snow.
Yeah,
cool. Now, the song Her Perfume, I think, has the darkest lyrics on there. And you use... is it a violin? Or is that... So was that song inspired by the Irish Celtic folk-tinged family pop band, The Corrs?
No, but it did have been. I did listen to a lot of Corrs when I was a kid.
Yes.
I love The Corrs.
Now, at the end of the album, you say... You walk out and you say, that's fine. Is that like a, that'll do?
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah, and that was literally it.
Could have done better, but whatever.
I was like, I don't know. We didn't have time to record the song, that last song.
Ah.
It got to, like, the Friday morning, and I said, I want to record the song. Let's just put the overheads on it. They were, like, getting levels. And I was like, how's that level sound? And I was like, you know what? We're done. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Now, the last one of this section is the Midnight Train lyrics. Can I hear your cutest voice? So, Keegan Joyce, can I hear your cutest voice?
No. I mean, this is my voice. I think this is it. I think this is my cutest voice.
Section 3, I'm your biggest fan.
Is there someone or something that you are fanatical about?
This is easy for me to answer. The Milk Art Kids. It's my favourite music group.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tell me.
No,
tell us.
So they've two guys, two guitars, and they've got a scene, and they have had three albums. I love them so much and their music that, like, I have no doubt that I've been probably, if not the first, at least in the top, like, first 10 people to the first song on Spotify or Apple. That's how quick I am.
Yeah.
I love their music. I think they're just some incredible musicians and performers, and they've been such huge influences on my music. But
that's awesome. What's that name again?
The Milk Carton Kids.
Milk Carton Kids.
Yeah, some coming out. A Milk Carton Kid is
a missing child.
Yeah, missing child. That's what I mean.
And this will be very hard for you. I know it will be. Favorite song?
I think probably there's a song Memphis by the Milk Carton Kids.
Yep.
It's probably one of my favorites. Probably a toss up between that and there's a Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings song called Dear Someone. Those two are there. It's probably up there.
Okay. What song do you sing in the shower?
I like this. I'm listening to this girl, Margaret Glasby. So a couple of her songs, and she's got like this amazing, like kind of gravelly sound every now and then, like these growls in her voice. So that's probably why I
say in the shower, it's growling. what's your funeral song?
Oh, Celebrate Good Times. Always something like that, just to kick some people in the dick just when I'm dead.
Why not? Everyone has a different
thing they want.
do you collect anything?
I have some like pretty impressive old records in terms of like first pressings and like first editions and stuff. I have some Sherlock Holmes books that are like really old, and I have been given those and collected those.
This is the most important question to me. Who is your favourite Spice Girl?
I think when I was a kid, I loved Baby Spice.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe she is more accessible to me at like 10.
Section 4, I'm a bit mental.
Now, you have actually spoken and consulted with mental health professionals. If you're happy to share, what were some of the reasons behind that? What did you get out of that?
I mean, when I was a kid, my parents got divorced when I was pretty young, and that had, like, for some reason, a big effect. I know it's, like, pretty ordinary thing that happened, but also, like, it is, like, schism in a family. So probably a lot to that. But as I got older, I think it's, like, classic, like, patriarchy stuff that is, like, built in.
Yeah.
That I realised that I wanted to get rid of, just, like, anger.
Sure.
Like,
healthy ways
of expressing. Yeah, healthy ways of expressing anger. Like, you see in, like, there's this, like, weird thing that men are taught to, and women to some extent, or probably everyone, but it's like, take your anger out in the boxing ring.
Sure.
Like, take your anger out, go on a big, hard run, punch it out. And, like, that was what I thought. But that leaks over everywhere else.
Sure.
So, like, punching stuff is not a healthy way to, and I've never like punched a hole in a wall, like broken my hand or anything. But there is like an element, and I do remember being with like a past girlfriend, but being angry around her and like expressing that anger physically, not toward her, but like slamming my hand or slamming the door or something.
Yep.
And that, and realizing A, how scary that is for her, and thinking like, holy fuck, like this is me not expressing it. So that was something that I wanted to deal with someone, and like trying to realize that like it's okay to be angry, but it's actually more about you than
And I guess if you feel it in its little natural increments versus bottling it up, that's when you start slamming doors.
Part of it was just like getting in healthier relationships with people,
and not just romantic ones.
Friends, everything, and like, so that was like pretty helpful for me.
Is there something that you do that is just for you?
A lot of my music is just for me.
Yeah, great. What do you see for yourself as good mental health?
Well, I think open communication, self and non-self education.
understanding that your experiences and other people's experiences don't necessarily or aren't representative of like what you should be or what other people should be feeling slash dealing with.
It's inappropriate question time.
Now, I have to say, for you, this was not easy. Because I went onto your Tumblr, and people asked you some horrific questions. Now, I found questions about your blood type.
Yep.
Someone offered you money for sex. Mm-hmm. And someone even asked you if you have ever tasted your own semen.
Yeah. Like, not the first time that's been asked of me.
Wow. So it was all very, like, sex and penis related.
Circumcised, uncircumcised. You got asked that quite a lot.
Well, do you know anything about a website called Helmet or Hoodie?
No, I do not.
I'm so happy that I'm going to tell you. So
I'm guessing what it is now.
Yeah, it kind of relates. So when I'm researching, I literally just Google YouTube, Twitter, that kind of thing. And one page has a photo of you and some of your acting credits. And I was like, but what is this? It's not an interview. Like, and it's Helmet or Hoodie. And I'm like, it seems okay. And there's comments saying, oh, like, it's great to have another hoodie. Like, all of these sort of things. I'm like, what are they talking about? And I went up to the top, and on the side panel, it describes the website. It is a website dedicated to Australian actors.
Great.
And whether they have a helmet or a hoodie.
This is what we needed on the internet.
Like, I pretty quickly knew what they were talking about. For your own knowledge, it says you're a hoodie.
Okay.
Do
they confirm or deny it? Do they have confirmation?
They have confirmation, they say, but they will not give up their sources.
I wonder how the fucking... this is what I want to have them get confirmed.
Yeah.
I don't want to reveal.
You don't have to reveal.
I just want to fuck with them.
Just fuck with them.
Yeah.
It's right. He's doing an interpretive dance of the truth. Yeah. Right now, but
he's my uncircumcised penis.
Wow! Oh, that's interesting.
But
that's an interesting color.
He's my circumcised penis.
Great.
So the great thing is having an interchangeable penis.
Right. Absolutely. Someone asked you if you remember the song that was playing when you lost your virginity. Your answer was, "I think it was just deafening silence, followed by severe disappointment and a series of muttered apologies from yours truly." So, what specifically were you apologizing for?
I mean, it was just the first time. It was terrible.
Okay.
Like, everything. No, I just remember being, like, very excited. And then, like, in both senses of the term. And then being like, that was a sex orgasm. And then being like, oh, that was not so fun. she was like, what is going on?
We'll see, as a gay man who was not gay for a while, I have lost it a few times.
Yeah.
And each time was different. Me learning experience every time. So, you know what? If I didn't get the first one right, I'll get one of them.
Yeah. That's okay.
But that is it. We are done.
Thank you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Fanatic. A big thank you to my guest, Keegan Joyce. If anything we talked about upset you, feel free to call Lifeline Australia on 13114. If you have any comments or questions or suggestions, feel free to get in touch on Twitter at FanaticPod, or you can reach me personally at Posh Lopez. I love hearing from you, and if you like the podcast, please subscribe and leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. 5 stars. The more reviews we get, the more people will hear the podcast, and I can keep getting fun and interesting guests on here for you. I'll leave you today with a special treat from Keegan. The song Apparently I Was Selfish from his album Snow on Higher Ground, which is available through his website, and you can of course reach out to Keegan on Twitter at Keegan Joyce.
Bloodshot red. What you said to kill me dead rattles through my bones. It's hellish. But you were mostly happy and I was mostly selfish. Oh, double to prevent snap. Tightens up my breath. Don't you look at selfish deaths. You were once my best. Other demons in my head. Now the sentence in my breast. Escape me and leave me dry. My breath can't stand my sight. And I had picked a ring for life, and now your fingers won't suffice.
That's fine.